Welcome to the Yeshiva Shalmaila. This is David Lichtenstein. This week we'll be speaking about children at risk. We're going to have Rabbi Pinchas Friedman, the Reish Kol of the Belzer Kol Minaret Yisrael. He's Reish Yeshiva of Yeshivas Mevakshei Hashem. He's a lecturer, Mechaber of Shvilei Pinchas, comes out every week on the web, it gets distributed. And here's something interesting that he has to say.
I want to have nachas from him, and he doesn't give me the nachas. I'm sorry to
exactly.
Say, what a chutzpah. The child was not born to give me nachas. The child was born to give nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Then we will have Ronnie Cohn. He's the founder of Always Our Kids, also known as Ronnie's Rebels. And we will follow that with Rabbi Aaron Glick, Rav of Kamenitz in Brooklyn. Should be a very interesting show with some real insight. Rabbi Isai, what are your thoughts? 732-806-8700, press number 2. That's for what the B'nai HaYeshiva have to say. Or info@headlinesbook.com. We will post both messages, voicemails, as well as written, unless you request otherwise. But we're interested in what the Olam has to say. I want to make an ad for our sponsor. I want to read two letters I got from listeners. Here's Ellie Cohn. He says, my son is a reader, and he spent all his time reading The Hunger Games, The Shadow Bone Trilogy, and The Darkest Minds series. By his bar mitzvah, somebody went ahead and bought him the volumes of Headlines. Since then, by the Shabbos table, he's been speaking about killing a terrorist, guns and shuls, views on alcohol consumptions by Kiddush. You've changed his life. I would like to thank you very much. And signed, Ellie Cohn. Here's another letter I got from Izer Moskovsky. My family lives in the United Kingdom. I feel immense hakaras hatoiv to you for your books. They're the most borrowed book of our English Torah library. They have opened up the depth, clarity, and relevance of the Torah to our students. I use them constantly as the sefer to learn b'chavrusa with my students during our weekly learning sessions. They've been instrumental in giving so many their first taste of authentic, deep Torah and Svara Yashara. We would love to have your latest book, Headlines 3, available to for our students. I am confident it will be the most loved and learned sefer on our shelves. These are, if you want to really learn about interesting topics, keep your children discussing, debating by the table things other than politics, etc., go out and get Headlines 3. There are still some available in Svarim stores. Before we go to our guests, I'd like to say a short vart. This week is the week of Birchas Kehanim, which is the minig of many parents. Friday night, they bench their children, certainly Erev Yom Kippur, Erev Rosh Hashanah. Some people just do a Shabbos Mevarchim. So I want to speak a little bit about Bracha. V'heyei Bracha. Avraham Avinu was told, Klal Yisrael will be Heyei Bracha. So let's talk about it. You know, when we look at Birchas Yaakov, it doesn't seem like he's giving them much of a bracha. Look through that. Yehuda, Gur Arya Yehuda, he's, you know, mighty as a lion. Well, he either was or he wasn't. I guess he was, and Yaakov's pointing it out. Zvulun L'chayf Yamim Yishkain. Zvulun will be, you know, a seaman, a businessman. Well, he's just pointing out the facts. Yisachar Chamar Garim, Dan Yadin Amay, God Gidud Yigudeni, a warrior. So, there's nothing about a bracha in many of these. But I think there's something powerful we say. And by the way, it says at the end, Ish kiver chasai berachaisam. They were all brachas. Where's the bracha? Like we mentioned, many of them you don't see it. Here's a thought I'd want to share with you. People don't respond well to criticism. It makes them defensive, makes them upset, gets them angry, makes them feel little. On the other hand, talk about people's strengths. And they start to shine. I'm not talking about stroking their egos. I'm talking about strengths that are genuinely theirs. Some people have communication skills. Some people analytical and research, lumdim. Some people are flexible, adaptive, not stubborn. Some people are, you know, have great interpersonal skills. Ayiv shalem, raidiv shalem. Some people make decisions, solve problems. Don yadin amai, you know, a dayin. Some people are great planners and organizers. Yosef HaTzadik, Yashis Yadav Aleinach, he's going to run the whole world. Some people are good at multitasking. Some people are leaders. Le'yasser shevet me'Yehuda. Some people have great attention to details. Other people are great speakers, public speakers. Reish hamedabrim b'chol makim. So many different advantages, milas, attributes that people can have. Ish kibur chasei. So what is the bracha of Yaakov? The bracha of Yaakov is pointing out the attributes, the strengths. You're a good public speaker. You're great. You're an analyst. You're a lamdan. You have great interpersonal skills. You're wonderful with people. What a powerful gift that is. He just mentioned them because building on people's skills, this has been proven, is so much easier than trying to make their weaknesses better. Polish the skills rather than point out the weaknesses. That's the yesod of bracha, and that's what Yaakov Avinu showed us. You see that concept in Navi. In Melachim Beis Daled, it tells a story that Aisha came and she was tzoyek to Elisha, and she said, I have no money and my children will be sold as slaves to my debtors. So what did he say? He said, go to your house. And she interrupted him. He said, I have nothing in my house. I have a little pot of shemen, a little flask of oil. So he said, Lechi, Shali loch kelim, go borrow pots and pans, menachutz, meis kol shcheinayich, ask everybody, does anybody have a bathtub? Kelim rekim, al tamiti, as many as you can. Uvos, come, close the door, sagarta delos badech, viyotzakt al kol hakelim o'ela, take your little flask of shemen and start pouring. And it's amazing, it'll fill up all the pots, it'll fill up the bathtub, it'll fill up your urns, everything. So the question is, why did he say, what do you have in the house? Why couldn't he say, let's create something in your house and let's use that? And the answer is, it's so much easier. When you got something, build on that. And when you build on it, you could be, what does it say? Vayhi kimalois hakelim. All the kelim got full. And she said, ein oid keli, vayam, I filled up everything. From this light, the little flask of oil, if you speak about it and polish it and grow it, it could fill up all the kelim in the house. And that is the yesod of bracha. So when we bench our children, what are we supposed to be telling them? Ish kibur chasei. Spend some time thinking, what are the powers of your children? And each one is going to be different. And the next time you bench them and you say, Yavarechecha, Hashem v'yishmerecha, you say to your child, you're so good with people. Everybody loves you. And you're able to put a smile on everybody's face. And you know what? I love you for that. And the next child you say, wow, you really love learning. You know what? That's fantastic. You're going to grow up to be a real lamdan. And the third one you say to, you're so loving and kind. You take care of your younger siblings. You look out for your grandmother, even me, your parent, your mother. May you always be so kind. And that is Ish Kibur Chasei. So what is a bracha? It's not something magical from Shemayim. I guess it could be. But if we look at Birchas Yaakov, no. It's pointing out the attributes of each child. Let's go to our riddle of the week. So last week, we got a lot of responses to our riddles, so I'm going to name the winners, and if your name isn't on here, that just means you got 2 out of 3 right. Okay, these got all 3 right. Yossi Schwartz, Abba Wolk, Moshe Kress, Dovi Friedman, David Birenbaum, Binyamin Mashitz, Yitzchak Zlatnik, and Kalman Goldberg. So I'm going to ask another 3 riddles, and boy, whoever gets them right, we're going to send the gift to. Isha Isha Kiyasu Mikol Chatois Adam Chuluv Hisvadu Es Chatosam. So the Rambam writes in Perek Aleph in Hilchos Tshuva, the first halacha, Kol Mitzvah Shebetoira Bein Asay Bein Loisasei, if you're over on it, Kishayase Tshuva V'yashuv Michatosai Chayev L'Hisvadois. You have to make Vidoi. Without Vidoi, Zavidoi Dvarim, without it, your Tshuva isn't complete. Which you see, vidui dvarim bepeh is ma'akev es hatshuva. Shver, the Gemara says in Kiddushin naf mem tesam et beis. Everybody knows this Gemara. Hamakadosh es she'isha al manas shani tzadik gomer. She's mekudeshes misafik. Even if he's a rasha gamar, shema hira b'tshuva. L'chayr, who cares that he was mahara b'tshuva? The Rambam says that vidui dvarim is ma'akiv. He clearly didn't say vidui dvarim. Because the Gemara says, shema hira tshuva b'libay. So how does the Rambam shtim with the Gemara in Kedushin? That is riddle number one. Riddle number two. Kisa tisa tachas ishech. Okay, yitein hashem oisach v'chulu. The Ramban says, Ein b'chol mishpet ha'atayra dover hatali b'nes. Zulas ha'inyan hazeh. The Rambam writes, the only place we see in the Torah, something, a mishpat in the Torah, a din in the Torah, that's tali b'nes, is only the story of the Saita, where her innards basically burst if she had been mezana tachas baila. But this is the only place. Problem is, the Ramban in Parsha Sazria, this is Ayikra, Yud Gimel Mem Zayin, says Nige Batim is not Alpiderech HaTeva. It's a Nes Fim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how could he say by us, B'chol Mishpatei HaTorah, there's nothing Tolei B'Nes except for Saita, when the Ramban himself says Nige Batim was a Nes? Riddle number two. They keep getting harder, by the way. And the third one is, since we're talking about Saita, Nazir in this week's Parsha, we know that the Gemara says that Shmuel was a Nazir Olam. So the question is, a Nazir is not allowed to be Metame, it's one in our Parsha. How could Shmuel kill Agag, Melech HaMalek? Vayishases Agag, he basically sliced him open, right? Vayakum Shemes is Metame B'maga. And Shmuel was a Nazir. How was he allowed to be Metame to Agag? Those are our three riddles. Anybody who gets all three right, we will belined again send a sefer to.
As always, if you'd like to send in a comment, 732-806-8700, and for comments, it's 2. Or you can email us info@headlinesbook.com. We do put up the comments and the letters online where readers or listeners can access them unless you request otherwise.
Let's go to our wonderful guests.
Joining us from Eretz Yisrael is Rabbi Pinchas Friedman. He's the Rosh Kol and the Belz Kolim in all of Eretz Yisrael. He's also Rosh Yeshiva Mevakshei Hashem, which is a yeshiva that deals with Kabbalah. He's the Mechaber of Shvilei Pinchas, which goes to 10,000 people a week. It's in three languages, Hebrew, English, and French. He also has expertise in dealing with children who are struggling. Him and Avi Fishoff are both big experts in the field. He trains people how to deal with children who are struggling. Welcome, Rabbi Friedman. So, Rabbi Friedman, explain to us your expertise. Somebody has a child who suddenly something is going wrong with. The child is sleeping during the day. He's very unhappy in yeshiva. He's acting out, maybe hitting or violently. His behavior starts becoming abnormal to his parents. At the first stage, how do you deal with it? How should a parent deal with it?
Okay, first stage, we need to understand that it, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, it all begins with the parents and ends with the parents, always. I've checked that out again and again. There are very few times that it's an outside picture that parents are not involved. Usually, we parents are the king and the queen of this child. I would even say sharper, we are the God, so to say, of our children, which they can relate to. They know us, and they need our approval, and we are the ones to give them energy to be able to cope with the hardships of this world and the hardships in school and all the challenges that a child has. Now, if we give them the right encouragement, if we give them the right koiches, the energy, tools, how to deal with who they are, then they will grow up be'ezes Hashem is Buddha successful. As the Torah says, v'shenantam levanecho, v'lamadatam oisim es b'neichem, you should teach them. The problem is that we HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates them in a certain way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is our partner. Like the Gemara says, Shloisha Shitzem Ba'odom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aviv Ve'imoy. And he creates them in a certain way. And he wants us to take that child with all his or her potential and give them all the energy and all the chinuch they should be able to grow up a successful Yiddish child in Barachnius and Begashmius, to know how to deal with the world. Now, how do we do that? We do that by velimadetem oisam es beneichem. Oisam, it says, without a vav. It's a lamadetem atem. You need to learn who is my child. Not who I want him to be. Yes, in a general way, I want him to, or her to be a Shema Torah, mitzvahs, and a Talmud Chacham, and a Reish Shemayim. But I need to know what are his talents. How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create him or her? And with this, we need to give him energy and the right feedback to grow up. And I'm trying to put in this whole Torah, Kol HaTorah Kila Al Regel Achas. When the child is not the biggest talent, and you have a younger child that's much more talented, and he comes home not with 100, with 100 plus, and this child comes home only with an 80, and when the other child comes in with 100, you're smiling, and the whole room lights up. But the bigger child, and it happens the other way around, comes in with an 80, he has worked or she has worked much more than the other child because her talents are not that great. And you don't have the seichel to say, wow, I know how hard you worked. And not only that, to watch out not to praise the other child in a very great way, when this child will feel that look, my younger brother, my younger sister is much more talented than I am. And on that, we repeat the known word that a person should hang up on the wall, a sign, the pasuk in Mishlei, Chanoich lenar al pi dalkoi, raise, give chinuch to the child according to his way. Why? Because gam he will not, his nature, his character nature will not change. So you have to give him the koyach, the energy to be who he is and not who you want him to be. That is the cause of all the problems, and that is the cause of all the healings. To accept the child with open hands and open hearts, because they read into us. They read into our neshama. They read into our response. And I cannot begin to tell you, brothers and sisters, how many times things have changed in weeks when they came before it was too late. How just to accept, just to give that child the special love and the special attention, give him personal, take him for a walk because he needs something that the other children don't need. And don't say, I did the same to all the children and it worked. There is always the child, which is called the sandwich child. He falls between the smaller children who are so sweet, and he started talking and he started going, and the bigger one is going already to yeshiva, and he falls between the benches. Nobody looks at him, and we don't see that the child is deteriorating from day to day. This is Kol HaTorah Kila Al Regel Achas.
Pinchas, let me ask you a question. What do you do? You know, let me play the counterpart. You know, I want my kids to give me nachas. A child is born to give his parents nachas. That's why he was born. And this child is not giving me nachas. So if he's not giving
me nachas. I never jump in the middle of a question.
This is, but I'm feeding you bait, like, you know?
Yeah. You're really feeding me bait, because I want the brothers, the Oilim, to hear your question. I want to have nachas from him, and he doesn't give me the nachas. I'm sorry to
exactly.
Say, what a chutzpah. What a chutzpah. The child was not born to give me nachas. The child was born to give nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he was the one who decided what nachas means to him. Who am I, a basar v'dam, to say I want nachas from him? Yes, I want nachas from him by going along with the nachas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from that child. If that child is not the greatest talent and learning, not the sharpest guy, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not maybe, surely HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from him the nachas to be the zvulun of Klal Yisrael, to be a businessman that's going to be kaveya itim l'teire, that's going to daven, that's going to feel not that he's less than others. I used to tell my children that were Bali Batim, after a days of work when they went to learn, I said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting anxiously, and he says to the Malachim, look at my children, he has worked all day long, and he still drops everything, goes to the Beis HaMedrash, and learns the Daf HaYomi, and learns Torah. And if the child gets that message, then he will learn, and he will be Mesayim Shas, and he will give me nachas, and he will give nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
But, let me interrupt. What do you do with a parent who says, listen, I have a house full of kinder, shtub full of kinder, right? This son is different. He's wearing a blue shirt. He cut off his payas. He started from a chassidish. He wants to look more modern. He's embarrassing the whole family. It's going to shter shidduchim. It's going to shter. What do you do with a parent who says something like that?
For a parent, something like that, I tell him, make a cheshbon haNefesh, what brought him to this point. It's you. And your wife, I'm sorry, maybe only your wife. It's you that had brought him to this situation. And the tshuva is, what do you do tshuva? You change your ways. You start accepting him. And not accepting him only verbally. Really accepting him. And this will stop the yerida, the going down the hill. This will stop and it will bring him back if you do it truly. Not only mirasof ulechut. So I'm saying he came to that situation because he was not accepted the way he was. Because you wanted to change who he is.
Yerim Bell, a kid has come home with an iPhone. I mean, you've seen, you know, all the Pashkevillim, you know, an iPhone, you don't go to Gan Eden, you go to Gehenim. He's going to be mashpia on the other kids in the family if he has an iPhone.
Yes, he's going to be mashpia on the other, but who brought him to have the iPhone? That's the nekuda. The nekuda is to make a cheshbon haNefesh that it's we parents who did not give the child the right positive feedback that has brought him to this situation. The proof is when you see a child starting to rebel. He starts to rebel. Rebel is a cry out for help. Help! I don't get my nourishment. I don't get my encouragement. I cannot learn as many hours as my brothers. And instead of saying, wow, you've learned 2 hours before noon and 2 hours the afternoon, or chas v'chalila if it's less, instead of giving the encouragement and say, we love you, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you, that would have not brought him to buy an iPhone. An iPhone is because he has no enjoyment, he has no sipuk from what he's doing. He's not fulfilled with learning in cheder. Because
what about the other children in the house? What about the other children in the house? He's going to have a bad hashpa.
Okay, this is already a question when he has already a bad hashpa, what to do. I will not get into this. This is a different subject, what to do. What I want to get, because our time is limited, this is a question when already he has an iPhone. The question is already when is Machal Shabbos. This is already a big machlokes from the Rabbonim. I will not get into this maybe another time, because it's too intense and it's too controversial. What I want to give the messages to the parents that how not to get to this question. How not, so that we don't need to ask this question to get an answer to this question. And it's up to us. And you parents, I don't know how many are listening. It doesn't make a difference. Even if one would listen, it's enough.
We get 25,000 listeners a week.
Baruch Hashem. So from the 25,000 people, all you parents, when you start seeing one of the children drifting away, he is not drifting away. He's crying out for help. And you can be him, save his life, Begashmius and Barachmius, if you will start making the cheshbon haNefesh that this child needs more than others. This child is being abused in cheder, it's not always the case to check, because it's not the best and he doesn't always have 100, and that will make you change and change that child. I remember, I'm sorry to bring a personal example, one of my children was a big Talmud Chacham today, very, very sensitive. He came home always with 90s, with 80s. He once came home with a 70, and I know it was a very hard week for him, and the subject was very hard, and he came in and he showed me the 70, and I said, wow, Shia, I know you were, and he burst out crying. He says, Tati, how could you say wow when it's a 70? And I told my wife, please bring in L'chaim. Why? Because I know that you had done your best. And your 70 is to me like another one that has 100. That is the example of how to accept a child the way he or she is, even if she's different than all the others. And if she's different than all the others, all the lights should go on. All the lights should go on. You should start planning, what did we not do right? Or what's happening to the child in school or in cheder? And how can we make up for it? I am telling you with achrayus, not once and not twice. Things will change under your eyes so amazingly that you won't believe what you're seeing. Give them love. Give them natural, personal attention. Go out with a walk on the street. Tell him that, you know, tell him, ask him his hardships to share with you. You're going to see how things will change, and all the questions will not need to be asked, because the answer is so pure and so clear.
Pinchas, thank you very much. It was an honor having you.
Okay, Zama.
Thank you very much, Colton. Joining us from Flatbush is Ronnie Cohn. He runs an organization called Ronnie's Rebel for kids that are struggling. Sometimes they're called OTD. He went to Yeshiva of Flatbush and to Ponovich. Fascinating combination. Welcome, Ronnie.
Thank you.
Ronnie, talk to us about off the derech children. Like, give us, you know, some primers. What causes it? How to deal with them, etc.
So to me, the word off the derech is a very loaded word, because I don't know if it justifies the way people look at it. I have a lot of kids in different situations that, from the parents' perspective, they're off the derech, but from their perspective, they're actually on a journey. So just because they went to traditional mainstream yeshivas in a structured way, they're not always up to par with the structure the yeshiva wants. So sometimes they fall behind, and they're really struggling, whether it's emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and they're not really off the derech. They're just being challenged, just like an adult. You know, I tell Bachrim, like, you know, you drive your car and you look at the wrong thing in the street, you were off the derech that minute. You were off the derech. So
you're saying, Ronnie, you're saying they're not necessarily off the derech, but it's maybe the derech is too narrow.
Exactly, the derech is too narrow. Even to elaborate even more, I'm going to tell you a quick story, which I went to Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter many years ago, and I asked him, you know, he gives me a lot of hadrach. I asked him, like, what's the most important thing? So he says, Sipurei Tzadikim. If you want kids to be good, you talk about stories of Tzadikim, of Gedolim, of Rabbanim, plain Jews that did tremendous acts in life of kindness, of any form of behavioral, which always brings eventually to a higher spiritual connection. So I have a very fascinating story. My Rebbe was just nifter about 8 months ago from COVID. His name was Rav Aaron Cohen. He was the Toldos Aaron, Toldos Avraham Yitzchak's brother. He was in Muncie. He had a little shul. He used to come to Flatbush, and he used to fear a private minion in the Young Israel in the basement. And whoever is listening and knows about this minion, it was a very holy minion, and the man was a very holy man, to the degree where Muhammad, the caretaker, used to say, I want blessing from the rabbi. Every Matzah Shabbos, that's what he used to say. So I used to ask Muhammad, how do you know? He says, I know. Anyway, that's just off tangent. So unfortunately, I'm on his way to the Levaya. It was a Monday afternoon at approximately 3 o'clock. I get a random phone call. I'm on the New York State Thruway. A bucha calls me up. I haven't heard from him in years. He says, Ronnie, I'm sorry I lost connection with you, but I got married, and tonight is my last shaver brachas, and I would love for you to speak. I said, Bubala, I would love to speak, but I'm going to my Rebbe's Levaya. He said, which Rebbe? I said, Reb Aaron Cohen. Oh, was that the Rebbe that always came to your children's chasanis? I said, yes, of course. He says, you don't remember this, Ronnie, but many, many, many years. I came to one of the weddings, and I was struggling. And let me tell you how he was struggling. He was totally off the beaten path. Anything you would see on him, not connected to being Jewish. I don't even know if he wore a yarmulke. But he went over to Reb Aaron, and he gave him Shalom Aleichem. And he right away said to Reb Aaron, I'm not a Shomer Shabbos. So Reb Aaron asked him, you don't even hear Kiddush? He says, no, Kiddush I hear a lot. So he said, oh, so did you are Shomer Shabbos? And he said from that line, he started the journey back to Shabbos.
Do you know, by the way, Ronnie, just to interrupt, the Aruch Laner, right, in his Tshuvas, you know, he said that the Zalacha of somebody who's Machal Shabbos B'Fahesya, his Mumr, his Yayin becomes Yayin Esach, Chulu, and he Paskin, he said, if somebody says Kiddush, and then they go to work, since they say Kiddush, you can't consider them fry. He Paskin says Zalacha, and their wine is not yet. So what the Talmud Aaron Rebbe is Zalacha too, it's correct.
Wow, wow. It's funny that you're saying that. I once asked Rabbi Twersky in Flatbush. I said, Rebbe, what do you do if you see 30, 40 boys smoking on Shabbos publicly? He said, you go over to them and you say to them, if you're smoking L'Kavod Shabbos, have a good Shabbos.
That's amazing. Who told that to you?
Rabbi Twersky from Flatbush. They call it, he's a big lover of Klal Yisrael. Amazing, amazing philosophy. I don't know where it goes halachically, but I can tell you one thing. The only way to deal with these kids is love, love. Ayin Toiva. If you look at your kid with a good eye, he's never going too far from you. I have a story with a bacha that he was very bad at the age of 13, 14, 15, 16. And then at 21, he became very starved. He started learning, and he just became, today's in Koilu with the Baruch Hashem, a big family. I asked him, what were you thinking all those years? He said, I just couldn't handle myself, my connection to God, but I knew I'm always coming back. I asked him, like, how do you know you're coming back? You ready for the answer? My parents are tzaddikim. I couldn't do it to them. There it is. It's all about how you portray yourself. I never told my kids to daven. I never told my kids to learn. It's what you do. It's the osmosis you give over. It's energy. It's energy in a house. If there's a likus in your house, I don't care where your kid is. I have a story from Epsteinemann, a famous story, and I have a witness to it from Darchei Torah. What was his name? Rabbi Warman. You heard of Rabbi Warman?
I know Rabbi Warman, yeah.
From Darchei?
I didn't know he was in Darchei, but I know Rabbi Warman growing up.
Right. So Rabbi Warman was there. It was fascinating. I went over to Epsteinemann, and I asked him, I said, Rebbe, I have a situation in Williamsburg. The boy doesn't wear a yarmulke, he cut off his payas, he sits at the table with a computer on Shabbos. The mother says, I'm struggling, my husband said he's throwing him out. The wife says, if he's throwing him out, I'm leaving you. So I don't have to tell you the crisis that goes on in a house like that. I said to Rav Steinemann, what do we do here? Rav said, throw him out? What's that going to help? I said, but they're afraid of the Ashpa, the other kids. He said, send the kids away. Or teach the kids. Teach the kids about this boy. He said, when you throw out a kid, it affects the whole family automatically. Bring the kid back with a lot of love. That's what Steinemann said. So I said to a lot of the kids, my clubhouse, we eat a lot of food, and, you know, they watch some, not TV, like basketball games. It's all clean. It's 100% legitimate. But a lot of people say, no, only through Torah. So I said to Steinemann, they don't like learning. I'm quoting Steinemann. He says, who likes learning? Everybody likes themselves, quote unquote.
Let me get that straight. So Steinemann said, even if it has a bad hashpah on the rest of the kids, you keep the kid at home?
Yes, quote unquote.
Now, what's the logic to it? Don't the other kids have a right too?
Yes, they also have a right, but I guess it has to be a communal problem in the house. It's just the fact that this kid is like this is a challenge that everybody has to be involved in the challenge. Sometimes I know there's psak halachas where you don't throw the kid out, but you do, you say, listen here, Bubala, I will pay your rent, I will pay your expenses, I'll support you, I'll keep you alive. That's not really throwing him out, by the way. You see, that's another facet that no one talks about. A lot of parents through my experiences, have set up their kids in environments where they were really functioning and doing their own thing, and eventually things came to some stability. But when you throw out a kid, it means you're gone. I have nothing to do with you. So it's hard to understand exactly what Steinemann means. I didn't really elaborate too much on it, but it was basically you never throw away a kid. You know, if you're supporting a kid
Ronnie,
in an apartment.
Do you believe in creating boundaries for kids? You say it's love, love, love. Do you believe in boundaries?
Of course. Everything has a boundary. You can't. The whole life is a boundary. But the question is, how far does it go? I mean, at the end of the day, everybody has their rav. Everything's a psak halacha. Every situation's different. Listen, I'm a Hatzalah member. So people ask me, what do you do on a bleed when someone's bleeding? So I ask, that's like asking me what size suit does an average person wear. There's no such thing. A bleed could be from the carotid artery, which is serious. A bleed from your toenail is not serious. So
Ronnie, question. Does a parent have a right with an off the derech kid say, listen, what you do in your room is fine, but by the Shabbos table, we want you to wear a yarmulke? Is that something that you would say is setting a boundary? You think that's too much, too little?
I mean, to me, you know, you're asking me, it's like this question has been asked a million times and a lot of people have different opinions on it. But I would try as best as possible. And again, if the energy is good between the parents, because I know situations where kids are really, really struggling, but there's so much love that the kids themselves would never hurt the family or hurt the kid or hurt their siblings. So even when they do things in their room, you wouldn't even know that they're doing it in the room. Again, when a kid has to be told, listen, go to your room, do whatever you want, I don't care. That means there was already a rooted problem on the relationship. You understand? A lot of parents need themselves coaching. They need themselves therapy on how to relate to where did it come to this point? Because a lot of kids struggle with Yiddish guys. But if you love your parents and they've been good to you through your life and supported you and always been there for you, so why would you want to hurt them? So telling them outright, go in your room, do whatever you want, I don't know.
How do parents who are dealing with children who are off the derech, who come home with these crazy haircuts, who maybe come home with tattoos, they want to have love for the kids. How could they do that when everything they're doing goes against their core values? How do the parents stay upbeat when the children are how do parents live with it? I mean, they also have feelings. You say, be happy with the kid, accept them. Parents are human, too. How should parents for themselves deal with all this heartbreak?
They have to learn the time of Devaira. They have to go through the Chalakim there. He talks straight out about it. He says, you know, Lahavdil, like a child, soils his diaper. The worst. There are a lot of fathers in the house that they can never deal with a badly soiled diaper, especially when it's really messy. And the mother has to take care of it and clean up the kid. And after she cleans him up, she picks him up and kisses him. What's happening here with a kid who gets tattooed and everything, this is all temporary stuff. It's not something that's forever. And you have to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has more pain than you have, and he still has Rachmanis on this yid, no matter what. So when you see a kid with a tattoo, you have to look into yourself. You know, it's like you have a Shalom Bayis issue with your wife. People go to therapists, my wife, 99% is about yourself. When you have a problem with your kid, you have to have an Ayin Tova on him. Even if he got tattooed, he made a mistake, he didn't mean it. Everything is a good eye. It has to be eyes. And of course, find me one adult that didn't struggle with avarice and didn't do bad things. You know, we have an expression in our clubhouse, don't judge a brother just because he sins differently than you do. It's all about judging. The pain is selfishness. I know houses where a kid is tattooed, earrings, funny haircut, yeshivish family, they all love the kid like crazy. He sits at the table, he laughs at them, and eventually he comes back. That's all.
How much kindness should we put into these children, and what does it come at the expense of the rest of the children in the family? Like, you know, raising money for OTD yeshivas is so much easier than for regular yeshivas. So, like, when a parent spends all that time with the kid who's off the derech, the kid with the tattoo and the afro, and it's coming at the expense of the other children, are we, like, watering the weeds and cutting the flowers?
First of all, raising money. It's easier to raise money for mainstream yeshivas. There's so much cover they give you there. You know, I can't raise any money in the normal way because I can't give kavod. I can't show the kids that I'm dealing with. I can't tell you the situations that I'm dealing with. I can't honor trauma. In the mainstream yeshiva's day, everything is glitzy, nice. You know, you take a picture with a big plaque, and everyone's behind you, and you're by Rabban. There's no. It's very hard to raise money for our type of work. You know what I mean? That's the first thing. Second thing is, what's the last part of your question?
My question is, how much chaos do we put into these children at the expense of the other children? You know, time is like a pie chart. I mean, a person has 5, 6, 7 children at home. The kid with the afro, with the tattoo, he could take up 40, 50, 60% of your time, and the other 6 kids take up 20, 30% of your time. Like, is that fear? Are we watering weeds and cutting flowers when we spend, you know, such an inordinate amount of time on the kid who's struggling?
It's a good question, but it's a very easy answer. A kid off the derech, supposedly whatever that means, is like a kid with cancer. Unfortunately, when someone has cancer in the house, you know how much effort goes into that kid? There's no shyly you give all the attention there, because there'll be siyata d'shmaya that the kids will notice how much you're trying to help someone who's ill. Because when a kid is off the derech, he's basically spiritually ill. So do you say if a kid has cancer in the house, you don't take care of him because you're neglecting the whole family? No. You got to give him all the energy. Automatically, it becomes a communal effort in the house, and everybody together gets involved. And actually, if the parents are trained properly, those kids become even better than otherwise, because they're what you call wear-tested. You know, they're tested through the bus, as they say in Hebrew, the mud. So a kid off the derech is a spiritually cancerous kid. You got to give him a lot of time. He needs to be taken for this. He needs to be taken for therapy. He needs to be doing it. It's not even a shiloh. You have to take care of him. Yes, that's the nisayon in the household.
What percent of people have this problem? What's the success rate?
I spoke to a very big community leader in the Hasidic Shevel many years ago, and he tells me we only have 3%. I'm not making fun, but that's what he said. Of the derech. I said, really? When it's your kid, it's 100%. That's the first thing. And the second question is, how many kids come back?
Yes, but even on the first, do you believe that it's only 3%?
There's no such concept. By me, everybody's at the, you know, I have a very, very tough line I'm going to use. The difference between the Aleph class and the Dalet class is the Aleph class knows how to hide their Aveiros. The Dalet class doesn't. The struggles that kids go through, Mitzuyanim also go through, they're not so challenged because they may be focused more on their learning and their this, but the challenges are all over the place. Everybody has a challenge. Everybody, you know, I asked my Rebbe once, what's the avoid of a yid? I asked him straight, what's the avoid of a yid? What do you do? He says, Madam, heat in the oigen, you have to watch your eyes. I said, really, that's the avoid? He says, Azoi, like it says, 24-7. It's a 24-7 job. It doesn't discriminate. Everybody has it. Everybody has service. There's no, you know. What can I tell you? I know one thing by me, my boy years that I've dealt with are really holy kids, mamish holy kids. They just need someone to trust and someone not to judge them. If you relate that way to your own personal family, at the end, what does it say? In Tehillim, I forgot the pasuk. It says, forgot the pasuk. The ra goes away. In other words, if you see bad and you judge them positively, that ruchnisdik energy at the end makes them.
So we spoke about love. Ronnie, we spoke about love. Talk about judgments a little when you say we're judgmental.
Well, let's talk about judgmental. I told one of the Satma Dayanim many years ago, when a bacha comes to you in jeans and a t-shirt and flip-flop, and you believe he might be greater than you, then Mashiach will come. Because nobody knows anybody. Nobody knows anybody. Nobody knows. At the end of the day, it's after 120 where you really know who's who and what's who. You know what I'm saying? I deal with a lot of young marriages and couples and this and that. So one of my rabbis once said, you want to know a person, you have to ask his wife. You don't ask the Rebbe or the friend. He asks the wife who he is. So you don't know anything. A person doesn't know anything in anybody. What, just because he wears this or he wears that, you know. Today we're all cookie cutter behavioral. I mean, again, you need a system. But overall, you know, like a bacha was telling me, his Rebbe came over and he says, why are you wearing that horse on your shirt? So he made a whole thing out of it. The Rebbe said this, it's like a bit of Zuda, a bit of this. The boy said, simple, I like it. It looks nice, and that's it, simple. Why does everybody wear different hats, even in the Torah world, right? Everybody wears different style hats. It's a Messiah? I don't know. I think everybody just has a style and likes the way they are, likes what their father wore, likes this look, likes that look. I don't. That's the problem. We have to look more at the fire of the Yid. When you see a Yid, you have to see his fire, not his body or what he's wearing or what he looks like. Because you don't know. You don't know anybody who he is, what he is. Shlomo Carbach's famous line. You remember? You'll never know.
I'll tell you that. You know, it says by David HaMelech, it says, after he did the chait with Bathsheba, so Nathan the Navi came to him, and he told him a whole story about a guy who had a shepsalah, and he lived next to a very wealthy man who had flocks. And this guy took away his one sheep. So David HaMelech got up and he said, kill him. He should die. So Nathan the Navi says, why did he have to make up this whole Baba Maisa? Why couldn't he just tell him, look, what you did is terrible with Bathsheba. You had the husband killed so that you could marry her? And the answer is, if he did that way, he would have been judging David. And a person can't judge the other person. So he created a case that's very similar. And when David got up and he said he should die, so David basically passed judgment on himself. Because the only person who could judge himself is the person himself. So he gave David. And you know where you see a similar thing, you know? You see that to be a Rav, to be a Dayan, you need smicha. And the Gemara says, you know, so a Dayan means he's judging other people. It's not nice to judge other people. But smicha means, the Gemara says, that if you have smicha, you're doing the shlichus of the Rabbi Nishalem. That's the only way he could judge. He says, I'm not judging. I was given this power to be a shliach for Kav Yachal, and he must be judging. I'm just sitting in. But to judge other people is nishkin sheinazach.
Right, and that's why Mashiach's coming from Ben David, not Ben Yosef, because Ben David sinned, so he would understand Klal Yisrael. He understood what it means to sin. Yosef was not chayta.
Do parents have a hand in creating Lothadera of children?
What a question. I drove to Novominska, the Chorayna Levracha, many, many years ago to New Jersey to a wedding. And I asked them, what's with this Lothadera? This was already just the beginning. It had to do with the house or the parents involved. You ready for his answer? He said, Ronnie, it's in the air already. You heard? It's in the air.
He's saying it has nothing to do with the parents. It's society we live in.
Society is very rough, yeah. It's we're not sheltered anymore. Years ago, you lived in the shtetl, and you were closed up, you know. I look back at my family from Hungary. One of the kids, my father told me, she was very, like, into nice things, so she used to take a bus once a week, went into the main town of Hungary for 2 hours. She was able to be there. Today, you got your smartphone. With the filters, without the filters, whatever you're doing, I don't know. You have access to anywhere. You want to be in India for the day, you could be in India. You want to go to Bangkok, you can go to Bangkok. You want to see what's going on here, you want to see. It's a new world today. And the information that we absorb in one day, I don't think our Zaydas and Bubbas absorbed in a lifetime. And that's why there's so many psych problems, which I'm also involved in. I'm in Atzala, I deal with a lot of psych problems.
Ronnie's Rebels, thank you very much. Rani Shalom, she give you kayach to continue your amazing work. We have with us from Borough Park, Rabbi Aaron Glick. He's Rav of the Beis Medrash Kamenitz in Borough Park. He's a Talmud of Rapala Zecharim Levracha, Rab David Salaveshik Zecharim Levracha, Talmud of Lakewood for many years. He has spent the last 8 years working with the parents of children who are struggling with the Yiddishkeit. They call them OTD, I don't want to label them, but struggling is the way to put it. Welcome, Rav Aaron.
Shalom Aleichem, Rav David.
So, Rav Aaron, tell me, you've been working for 8 years. Share with us some of your experiences, some of the issues, and how a parent who has a child like this should address them.
Basically, it's like this. We have different lines of parents coming through here, which means that the child is not always in the same matzav. Some parents come in, kenegam Italy, there's a trouble, that I feel trouble coming. He's doing something azoy, he's not really going to school, not doing well over here and over there, and I see chaverim, azachasodzah. That's more or less, I would say, a beginner of the problem. And the second mahalach is, when it's already seir nishkut, he's at home. He's home, he's not going to school, he's up at night, and he's sleeping during the day. And then if things are going nish good, and they don't know how to manage it, they don't know what to do with him, the house is pretty much on fire, there's a lot of metach, pressure between the parents and the child, they don't know what to do to deal with him. The third mahalach is when he's totally out of the house already, for whatever reason, either he was sent out of the house or he left the house, and the house is just not for him at this point. He took himself a different derech, a different mahalach, and he's out. By each one, there's a different mahalach, how we're going to advise the parents how to go about it. When he's totally out of the house, basically, it's very schwer, it's very tough. I have got a schwer case recently from a doch, Yiddish mishpacha from out of town. It's gefährlich. At that point, it's mamish gefährlich. And the advice over there was, try to just to keep a kesher. Don't make things worse. People make a lot of mistakes. I feel in that matzav. Let me cut off his phone. Let me make him the shtick. He shouldn't be able to have money and he should have to come on to me and beg me and so on. And a mailer is going to come, he's going to go, all is twosome, all that stuff is twosome. It's not true. The only thing you can do, I consider them a shekel choyl in that matzav sense. The chlal doesn't talk to them. Seichel doesn't talk to them at all. You can't negotiate with them. They're far off. And you have to try to keep up with the kesher. I teach Gorch Yiddish people even just to text with him, which is friend to them, and then send them food. I feel if you have an address or a location, leave us then. We can get it to him. If you have a connection there, if it's a Chabad Rav or somebody in an out of town or in a different state where he is, sometimes they're helpful. Rabbonim from there, and they'll reach out to him a little just to give him a stickle home, a stickle place, a stickle food, a stickle job, something. We're talking mamish of humanitarian zach, nishkin yiddishkeit, nishkin none of that stuff, that's far off. That's one. Then we have the one that's home and has already the sadrek to say that he's not going to school and all. Good. So there comes the next child, they're going to come, how we can deal with him at home. He's doing azoy. That's one of the childless I think that you have here, soon we'll elaborate on that a little in a minute. Those are at home. They cause a gewaltig amount of pressure in the house, because they're just one out of the seven or eight or six, whatever's in the house, that are just not on any kind of line, they're not on any kind of structure, no schooling, no working, no job, no panasa, gunished, just living off the parents. It's extremely pressured in the house, and the parents have a very hard time dealing with it. Just waking up every morning, seeing this kid sleeping through the day, then as the day goes by, 5, 6 p.m., that is a seder hayom v'layla, you all wake up, and they start going out and then fun and then nacht, drinking and whatever it takes and whatever they're doing. And hopefully they come back 5, 6 a.m., half drunk, half normal, whatever it is. And it's very tough to watch. And that's mistama the hardest to deal with. You would want to just put your whole chaos in it, but you can't do it. And that's where a lot of the shilas come up. How much do you want to be soiled? Should I leave it to you, Rabbi, the writer?
I have a question. How much of this is religious conflict, and how much of this is mental health issues? Whereas if the guy would be a guy, it would be the same shaila, right?
Excellent. I used to ask these shailas by the meetings. This is an excellent shaila. What happens to the guy when he's off to his derech? He's also not functioning. He's dysfunctional. He's not going to school. He's not doing this, not doing that. True. And that's why the mahalach to go about these children is, I teach the parents, just worry for his well-being at this point. This is a tkufa ki'ilu. We use the mashal, the child is in Sloan Kettering, Tuanal Slum, and you're coming to visit him, and he's vomiting, and he's not feeling good, and he's blasts, and he has no hair, and he's not wearing a yarmulke. Do you walk in and ask the child, are you wearing a yarmulke? Do you need a yarmulke? Do you need your tefillin? Did you put on tefillin? No, you don't ask all those shaylos. It's irrelevant for now. Leider. So what is it? Can you use an ice cream? Which flavor would you like? What drink can you use? What would go down? What was shmek there? What sort of toy can I bring you? That's really the mahalach when it comes to hospital. That's the erech how these children operate. And that's how you have to operate with them. And not to say that's a brachin, that's a shasin, they're dangerous. They're dangerous in the chlal of doing things to themselves, self-hurt and self-harm. You just worry for their well-being. It's very hard on parents. They're on parents to see a child is going downhill, not being productive in any fashion whatsoever, and just nurturing him and worrying for his gashmias, for his eating, for his sleeping, for his resting, maybe his medications that he's taking. A lot of it touches very borderline Yiddishkeit and mental health. A lot of it is mamish walking a very fine line. Halavai, lots of these children, that matzit, would want to go for therapy and help, would be Yeshua Gedoyle. The problem is they're not going. That matzit of their life, of that Yerida, they're not going. I have lots of parents that walk in and they say, you know what my child said? You go for help. So they ask me, what does that mean, Rabbi Glick? What does that go for help? I'm okay, I'm healthy. So I explain to them what it means is, what they're saying is, you don't know how to deal with a child in such a matzit. You go for help. Go learn how to do it. Go learn how to deal with me and what you need to do in such a matzit. Then, 2 weeks into therapy, when they come here, and I can't call it therapy, into Hadrach and Mahalach, what we give them, a lot of times the children ask, Mommy, where'd you go? Tati, where'd you go? Which means to say they're feeling that the tzugang changed, it's different. The pressure falls. The pressure in the house falls and mamish from 100 to 10 to 15. It's amazing. The acceptance and being makabel and understanding him and the rachmonis tzugang to him, it's a whole different world. And once the pressure is down, you have a whole different harmony in the house and the house could function.
Before that, I have a question for you, Rabbi.
Literally dysfunctional.
Rabbi, I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Are these problems the kids' problems or the parents' problems? In other words, I asked it on two levels. Sometimes, you know, to drive a car, you need a license, right? To be a hairdresser, you need a license. Kemat everything is you need a license for in the United States. Why? To make sure you know what you're doing. For parenting, you don't need a license. So I have two questions, first of all. How often is it just parents who don't have a clue what they're doing? That's question
Olive. That's goyrim this?
Yeah.
You're looking for the grammar now? That's what we're going to? The cause?
I'm just asking how often is it the parent's problem, not the child's problem?
Had recently a case, mamish recently, so put a lot of koiches and blood into it. It was quite obvious that the house was the goyrim, the house of the Rachman al-Flam, the Shambayas of the Shrek. It was fighting and mamish mocham is going on there on a daily. It just wasn't livable, and it probably broke the child. Again, I never met the child to hear from him. But usually when my parents sit down with me, I'll take a mahalach, push a write-up of the whole family, all the children, all the ages, and where the child with the issue is, where he's sandwiched in between the closest to him in age and v'chulu. The tzura of the bayis from Euch Negeh, to know if there's a basement, there's an availability, I'm only making a mistake either downstairs, we'll get to that in a little later. And noch eine von der Sachen, where are you going? What was the shayla? Yeah, what's going on in the house? What's tutzach dort? So we usually look for the trauma that triggered them, that pushed them to this. I have to come to it to be able to answer your shayla. Which means, what's breaking this child? What busted him, and when did it bust along the way? So there are a few trauma, I call it the umbrella coverage for the Yansi Sugya, but it's neschalik l'kamazach, what it can be. What this trauma could have been. One of the very popular traumas is a learning disabled child, an LD. An LD child goes through the school system, the Janssen system, from first grade to seventh, eighth, ninth. He's a durchfall every day in school. He forgets. He prepares for tests, and he's not much clear, and he can't answer. And this whole going to school is very dreadful for him and full of agnes nefesh. By the time he's a shtickle teen already, a young teen, the Gemara doesn't talk to him. He can hardly read Gemara. They're up with Midrashim, with Tosfos, and Afarshim, with Achrenim, and whatever else in the yeshivas that they teach, and the shurim and all that, and the English department. He just can't make it. He falls apart. That's kemat one of the traumas, serious traumas, that can show us to him. And he has to find the street, he has to find the internet, he has to find some other things to do, but it just doesn't work for him, doesn't talk to him. My question was always, why do these children go to school b'chlal? Why do they go to school every day? There's a component called social. There's a social component in school also, and that teaches them all. He has friends, he brings a business, lunches, sports, there's that. That he could relate to and have some shachas to, but in the limudim, doesn't work. Then you have trauma from divorced homes, like Shalom Bias in the house, Sebrechtak, and Sereisism of Shtik. He's being gerissen ahead and gerissen ahead, they pull him here, they pull him there. And that also breaks him. But this was already before, this goes back years ago. That trauma is an optimizer. When you had children going off from such type of shtiba. And then you have the nevgoyim, the abuse, those issues, which is a sugi fazich, a big sugi and a big limud of its own. With the famous Reb Shimon Rosl, which everybody knows. Before sin, he was practicing many, many years in Lakewood as a psychotherapist for these teenagers. He worked with the children alone. Then he was Oyler Tetz Yisrael, and he's practicing over there. He's a Talmud from the yeshivas, and he's a big mechadish in these inyanim, and he saw the teens live for years, their issues and their problems. He's the one that connected the abuse with the OTD, the shaykhs of these two inyanim, why it causes it for chulu. So between all these traumas that these kids went through, they're not very workable. They would need therapy, help. Avada, if you have a 15-year-old, and one of these traumas, especially the last one we mentioned, is his problem, if you would go service it, the shaykh, take care of it, we would be in a better place. The problem is they're not going anywhere. They're not making the problem, or they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to humble it. And they're just, they are where they are. So it's a fine line between mental health and off the derech, let's call it. You started the shaila a little different. Was the shaila, is it the parents' issue or the child's issue? What do you mean by the parents' issue?
Well, one of them, as you said, shalom bias issues, parents pushing their kids to schools they don't belong in, no license. They shouldn't be parents. The parents need education.
I have to take one thing at a time. Each one is before fazi helps try to go betachos the kids. This sugya of the right moizdes for the children is a sugya rucha. It's an unaddressed issue. It's an unaddressed issue because we have the yeshivas, Baruch Hashem, with one mahalach, one gun, one program, one system. Not every bochur, not every meidel is mesugel to join this regular 15-hour-a-day system. They're just not. And those are the ones that suffer. They have a good chance to suffer a little later, 15, 16. They break. Can't swing it. We don't have any modified systems. Mehavnisht. Not in the yeshivas, not in the mesiftas, not in the meidel schools. The high schools. It's all the academics that are stark and sharp from Baruch Hashem, producing gewaltige ben Teure, Tomit Chachomen, Noshin Tzitkonius, Kedel Weibel, v'chulu v'chulu, not all of them are mesugel for this. And we don't have the answer, the lighter version, for the ones that are not mesugel. It's a passion.
I mean, in particular, Rabbi Aaron, a boy who's artsy or a girl who's artsy, who likes music and color,
right.
And they suffer terribly in a system that's just very dry, it's very mathematical, it's very scientific,
True.
You know.
True.
You have a kid who's artsy, boy, you better be careful. Here's another question I want to ask about the
one
parents.
One of the things, let me push in 1 second, one of the things I advise them when the parents are sitting here ready in my office is I try to get a chush that the child has to. He has a chush to music, he has a chush to art, gegangen, let's go. Get him lessons, get him into it. Make it of interest. Buy him the tools. Buy him the kalim. He should have a piano or this or that, whatever. Any of these kalim that he knows how to play, they have a chush to spend money on it. Gegangen, do it. You'll get him something of interest.
Imagine if they gave Beethoven, instead of a piano, they gave him a Gemara. Or for that matter, they gave him a mathematics book. He would have killed himself. You know, so one person needs a piano, the other person needs a Gemara, and if you mix them up, you're going to have real issues. Would you agree with that?
I don't know what you mean exactly. That hour, that moment, that
phrase,
or you have the first?
When you have artistic children who like music, who like art, who it's just a different type of brain, and we try to turn them into scientific, he's going to say a chilek between 2 days and taisis. The mind just isn't wired that way, and they're really going to suffer with it.
I'm not the one that's going to say Mizonish Lenin, the kind of Mizonish Lenin. What I am saying is, if he has chushim, and that gives him his ear and his space, develop it. Why should you leave it undeveloped? He has a chushim that let him excel in that. He might not be excelling in class. He's only a 60 or 50. But he might excel in music. And he'll play by chassidus eventually. I had a bocher. I have a story of my own. This is before I was into this. This is a nice 15, 17 years ago. There was this bocher that came around my way. They don't know what to do with him. He's 15, 16. He's troublesome. He's only getting into trouble. He's not a learner. It's a geitness. So yes, what kind of chushin does this kid have? So he told me, he's going to be a chushin singing. Mamish is a beautiful voice. Something to develop. I said, you know what, Rabbi Yisai? We're making him into a singer. He said, you're crazy. He took it as a zach. He'll take a chidish, a bochel, and put him up on beamers by a chassan or something. What are you doing? What do you think you can do? He said, I don't care. I want to do this because if not, worse things are coming around. I had a friend that runs bands. I called him up and I told him, do me a favor. I have this kid. He needs to develop this chush, and he's not doing well in yeshiva. Can he join by you? You don't have to pay him a fillet. Can he join into you? He says, Sunday I have a chasana. Swadish chasana. Swadish. bring him. Sent over the kid there. I went with his tutor. I was by the chassan. I have no idea who they are, what they didn't care. The kid was up there on the second floor, high up with the band, and he got to the mic. The kid is today one of the chashivta star singers in the Chassidus Shevel that there is. He got married, has a beautiful mishpacha, and he's doing great. And that's what saved him. He had something to hold on to. He was matzliach in that. It worked. It worked. So we can do that on a bigger fund then. Children that are mistugled to it, let them do it. Let it be the air. Let it be the air for them. I'll go even further. How about an exercise program into the classrooms? Into the Seder Hayom. And if they play ball a half hour by lunch, what's the schlecht of them? My father was angezunt. So he over the Shmoinen. He was a Seicher also. He's a Talmud Muvah for a pilot. For the last 50 years he learned by him. He told me, for years he's been telling me, ball is the best to get to Horav Sedot. That you can have a bochel play ball. He says, we played a lot of ball in Yeshiva San Sofer 60 years ago, 65 years ago. By 18, I was like, is that Hakim Lennon? Those koiches I have, Ad Hayayim Azeh. He's writing, he wrote the 10th Sofer now, he's putting out the Masechdis. So, Gewalt Gezach, why aren't they implementing? What's wrong with it? There are worse things being done by Nazdoran instead.
I heard a story from the Brisker. I can't verify it. I didn't look it up, but this is what I heard somebody tell me. He said somebody came to the Briskerov. He said his son was a huge masm until he was 19. And when he turned 19, all he wants to do is hashpilt. He stopped learning. Hashpilt began to talk. The Briskerov told the father, then it gedaf spillen hat er gelernt. Yes, was er daf lernen will er spillen. When he was supposed to be playing, he was learning. You know, kids who 6, 7, 8, 9, 10,
he didn't play himself out when he was a kid.
He was supposed to be learning.
Never heard
he was, when he was supposed to be playing, he was learning. And now that he's supposed to be learning, he's catching up. Now he wants to play.
I never heard of a Gewaltig. It's very good.
Let me ask you a question. Is it the kid's problem or is it the parent's problem? In other words, the kid could be okay, but the parents just can't accept him. So that's not really the kid's problem. That's more the parent's problem. What do you think of that?
I don't know what you're driving at. If I understand what clock I should give on it, I'll do it gladly.
Okay.
But I don't know what you mean.
My question is like, how much is it the parents can't accept their kid? So the kid could be normal, but the parents cannot accept the way the kid looks. Kid wants to wear in a Hasidic house. He wants to wear jeans and a blue shirt and a face dish. But, you know, he's functional. He goes to show. The parent is driving crazy. Is it the kid who has a problem? Is it the kid who has a problem? Or is the parents have a problem?
Honest,
they can't accept who their kid is.
Honest, it's a dual problem. It's on both ends. Because the kid that's putting on jeans, for argument's sake, it lives in Williamsville going to Israel. Yeah? The two most Chassidic communities that we have are squares. And he met them all and wants to put on jeans and a blue shirt, and go like that, and they said something is very wrong. The Chassidish name for this is as glitchig, a glitzerschein. The English word is OTD, off the derech, it's automatically right away. There's no such thing that kid goes out of line, wakes up one morning, and put on jeans. The chat is an underlying internet involvement already, and who knows, chaveir and v'chul, and there's a lot of stuff behind it already. So this is a dual problem. The child is already off, he's going in a different direction, the parents cannot and will not deal with it, and you have the problem right there. They both have to own the problem immediately. You know, it's going to be normal if you let him stay. If you let him stay, a young Israel guy, should they accept him the way it is as this happened?
Now, yeah,
here we go.
Should they accept him today the way he is?
You mean to keep him in the house or accept him as the chal? Which
this is who he is.
You want to hear on?
He became more modern. He became more. He had issues. He wanted to rebel, and now it's like hooked eyes. So he's happy with the way he is. The parents aren't happy.
He's not happy either because he's a foreigner already. What is he doing next? He's going to college. He's a young Israel boy. Let's call him a young Israel boy. Is that what he became?
Yeah.
He came in Israel, but he wants to live in the house and go to college. Halavai v'ulai. I hardly have such a fear. It's usually not that. Because when he's going there, he's going off.
So let me ask you.
I do know of a family that did do such a thing, a family from Goch Sidish Rabbanish Meshpocha. They picked themselves one day, moved to one of these out of town communities, changed to yeshivish, the modern rather quality and Israel kind of thing, and they're running a house like that, which is very rare to happen. Of course, the parents cannot accept it, will not accept it, and crying over it. But if they would have the tools, those parents of that mishpocha, if they have the tools how to hold on to this mishpocha, they would do a lot of good. I don't think they have the tools. So now the richuk is happening year to year as it's going on. This is a 5-6-year-old story.
So I have, have another question for you. There's a fellow by the name of Bankston, a psychologist. He was hired by the church and to do a study as to why certain families, you know, they, by the goyim, the kids remain religious, and certain families they don't. And he wrote a book about it, a very well-known book. And he writes that the main, listen to this, something astonishing, for boys, Vernon Bankston, that's his name, and the book is called Families and Faith. So, Le'ovei Techakmeni, he says, the number one decisor or predictor as to whether a boy, particularly a boy, will remain within the faith is his relationship with his father. If he has a good relationship with his father, by Christians, he said, he'll stay in the faith. He says if he had a bad relationship with his father, he will very likely leave. Or that would be, you know, that's a predictor. Do you find that to be true?
I will say a different word. I can tell you over that I heard and I saw from Avnezer that the Shem Shmuel brings. Ezot Tazel. The halacha is, if they decide, you know, the Mahal Shana Tot, he's done, and we gotta do the Dafim Hagin, Mrs. Bezin, right, of some Seifer, then Seifer Meir Nachna Hagin. If the Gemara says, if the parents decide, Lim Chiloi is Moichlin, it can be Moichlin and it's over. Take the Shema Shmuel, and he's, I think, his father, since he come to, Sagiradach to us. He was over, he's of some Seifer, we have a problem here. A kid that's growing in a bad direction, he's going to be off the derech, he's going to be the tzeich, alas, the sabriyas, and for shidens, get rid of him. What's meant to be moichel? It's on the chal Shabbos, it's going to be moichel. What kind of talk is that? Forget that. Dr. Yisoid. He says the Yisoid of a child is as a daf zayn alamon l'shal shalas hakdusha, in the hemshech hadayis. That's what keeps him. That's what keeps him in line. This ben soir is growing off. He's going up off, he's falling out of this line. Over the email is the lifeline to a child. The chlalub of that. Zokter, if they're ready to hold on to him, that's what limchel means. They're saying, okay, we're holding on to him, afal pikein, mid the sakonas that he has, with the dangers that we see. We're holding on to him at ashtarkeit, is moichel, because then he has a chance to exist and to be a yid shabuch.
Let me ask you one last question. There are those in this, you know, working with these children who believe that parents should love their children no matter what, unconditionally. Do you agree with that or no?
You mean anything he's doing in the house of Chulu?
Just unconditional love.
I sent this Shaila to Hagoyen Hagodl, the Moshe Sternbuch, the Zayn Gesund. Mechabes Seifem Adam is Manim. Zayvit Fin Shleimer HaKadosh. Yes? Today I sent the Shailas. Can I read you his response?
Yeah, sure. He's been on the show like 4 or 5 times. Absolutely.
It's short. It's a few lines, but it's fantastic. I asked him the Shaila, what do we do with children that are staying home and the sakana for the rest? What do we do? This is what he's reading. Omar, his son Enikel went in to him, asked him for me the Shaila, that we need, people are going to hear it. What should we answer? He says like this. Sheyesh le'siyayetz b'chol mikrit imrav mumcha. Okay. Ach l'daitoi, what he holds, im ashpia l'ro aloachim, if it's mashpia bed on the rest of the siblings, yesh l'hoitzi me'abayis. Ebon dafna l'istam of hishtuv, I have what to say on this, how to be mitzim abayis. Baruch Hashem, I never had to advise it. This nekudim is either they came when he was out already, or they came and we held on to him inside, at home. But if l'hoitzi me'abayis, there's also ways how to do it in a fine oifen, this I'm putting in between. Which means you set him up, Avaneid Loifim, without Machloikis, and he's Mesudah, and you zorg for him weiter, you send him food and clothing, you take care of him. Again, you take care of him. It doesn't have to be with Machloikis, it's just not Shaykh at home, he's just on a different path. The Efshalazaloi, back to the measure, the Langizunt, Bamomoin, you can help him weiter with guilt. The Lishmer Al Kesher Kedela Karvoi. So then my Shaila was, what happens if he's going to do bad stuff with it? Chol Shabbos, Sichvayis was. That you are giving him money for food, for zachen, for clothing, for chul. But said to it, you don't have to follow, you don't have to see. But he is saying, as the doa mol chalila, in my spiel, that all achim yesh loitzim abayis. This is the nekudah that I wanted to hear from him. Oiba mol dafm in the stone, a fashteitzach, anybody that's going to take such a mahalach has to have a rav mumche that we madrachim how to do this and how to go about it. Then I asked him also, Agav, halacha zach in the same noise, what he holds about sitting shiva chalila for that matzav. But to do an b'syoysev et gebrengt hilch saveilus, there is such a thing, but the ain l'shev is shiva rak al hamoriz das. This is not hamoriz das. This is l'teyovim or whatever this is, it's something else. So nishdos, nishtek and shiva. This is what I got today, an answer, me basically.
It's hard to argue on that, isn't it? Well, Reb Aaron, thank you very much for your time. Reb Aaron, if somebody wants to call you, could you share maybe your email or your phone number with Dalem?
Yes. Rabbi Aaron Glick, 347-865-1966. Again, 347-865-1966. Email address, aglick1051@gmail.com.
Reb Aaron, thank you very much.
Yes, Kerech David, for being the Achsan Yisrael Torah.
Thank you very much, Colton.